Hello and welcome to the Groovy Uncle Podcast, presented by me, Glenn Prangnell. The Groovy Uncle Podcast takes a look at the creative output of a highly regarded, prolific bunch of musicians from the Medway Towns. So let's dive into a soup of groovy uncleness.
I'm 1,000 miles away from my comfort zone. I'm a long, long way from where I would call my home. And I'm very much aware that you're not always what you seem. It doesn't matter in the scheme of things. This was never gonna be such an easy ride, but I never knew I'd feel quite this way inside. I was troubled for a while, but now I'm happy, just a dream.
It really is a great feeling when musical inspiration just kind of lands in your lap or casually taps you on the shoulder. For me, the best ideas are the ones that jump out when I'm not looking, and so it was with the album A Clip Round the Ear. My parents' childhood recollections collided with my own and set me on the path to writing what I believe to be among my best songs. The stories about their infant school teachers, including the irresistibly named Miss Neat and Mrs. Saywell, had already pricked my imagination when my mum came out with another absolute pearl of inspiration. She spoke of the milkman and rag and bone man with their horse-drawn carts, and of course I was familiar with these and other characters and images that I'd seen on wartime Pathé newsreels and old movies. Certainly, in my own childhood, the rag and bone man had loomed large, though by the 1970s the horse-drawn cart had been replaced by a Bedford van, and to us kids he seemed a rather sinister, scary figure with his ghostly, indecipherable call that resonated around the empty streets on foggy weekday afternoons. I would often scare my younger brother by saying, "He's coming to get you. He's outside the back gate now. He's gonna get you." I was such a delightful child. But it wasn't the rag and bone man that drew my attention during Mum's storytelling. It was when she made mention of a particular salesman who would regularly call at the houses in and around Luton Village. "He sold lipstick, soap and paraffin," she said. I'd never heard of this character before and asked, "And what did you say he was known as?" "Well, we used to call him the Oil and Colour Man."
Puddling aquim feed, one vacid nut cake.
"His name is Stan, the Oil and Colour Man. You haven't got the measure of him yet. He would like to ride you on his bike, and what you see ain't always what you get. The kids can't stand the Oil and Colour Man. He touchy-feely clip you round the ear. He make bad joke with all the older folk. He doesn't like them foreigners round here. He entered a manhole in the town. They said it would end his career. You can't put the O&C man down just because he acts a little queer." Best
mate Jeff is clinically deaf, but he can see you half a mile away. He rack and bone and park outside your home. He scares the kids, they run inside to play. Jeff always did things underhand, certainly up to no good. Slings a guy the Brotherland, it's Deldish Velocity, Twervin's a friend lake, Jobbard in Ballomarch, the Glitis Polygrectum, Hutter's Blasby, Ophelic Wisdom, now a Glurdy Locro, bothers the Popping Top, the Sinister Tameter, cruising with Flat Wink, Twice the Batitwit, blooded with Luxidol, it's a Blood's McLulliprince, bequeathing the film.
I was intrigued and immediately thought to myself, now that's a song right there just waiting to happen. So, as with Mrs. Saywell, I began working on a fictional story based on people who had actually existed and built it around my parents' recollections with a few of my own memories thrown in for good measure. I decided to go for the darker angle. In my parents' day, and mine to an extent, certain things were often alluded to, but rarely spoken of in anything more than knowing looks, whispers, and innuendo. Don't talk to strangers. He's a bit of a queer un. The funny man at the school gates. He's a wrong un if you ask me. Saying without actually saying. I called him Stan because it rhymes with man. No great surprise there then. Now, I'm not for one moment suggesting that there was anything dodgy about the chap who my mum and her neighbours referred to as the Oil and Colour Man. It's just that the idea of placing a twisted fictional version of him and his sidekick Jeff, the Rag and Bone Man, front and centre of a song of mine was too good to resist. The scene is set in a black and white world of working class flat front terraced houses, where women seem to permanently wear their hair in curlers, often covered with headscarves while scrubbing their front doorsteps or hanging washing in the backyard. Where children play in the streets and alleyways, picking up dog ends and doing things they really shouldn't. To a soundtrack of the ice cream van, woe betides, and cries of, "Wait till your dad gets home." A monochrome mixture of poor but happy treadmill drudgery, resigned contentment, and making do. But something wicked this way comes.
Then one night, the grown-ups had a fight, a real one just outside the Hen and Chicks. Jeff and Stan, the Oil and Colour Man, were later found beneath a pile of bricks.
A couple of shadowy, grotesque ne'er-do-wells from the past, who step out of nowhere, it would seem, appearing on the street corners of a child's imagination, sending a shiver around a long-gone neighbourhood. We never do find out exactly what terrible atrocity Stan and Deaf Jeff were guilty of, but their actions do not go unpunished, as the grown-ups take justice into their own hands outside the Hen and Chicks, which was a real pub, by the way, and one of Medway's oldest. It still stands and closed its doors for the last time only a couple of years ago. The creepy, maniacal spoken word section of Oil and Colour Man is performed by the marvellous James Worse.
Poor old Stan, the Oil and Colour Man, you haven't got the measure of him yet. Poor old Stan, the Oil and Colour Man, he hasn't had the measure of him yet.
The concept of keeping memories alive, vital and intriguing, and even breathing new life into old stories, I find very appealing, and I've attempted this in various ways on Groovy Uncle Records. Whether it's imagining a real person in a fictional situation, a half-truth embroidered with artistic and poetic license, or using an old family photograph as part of the album art, It's a way of reinforcing the past while placing it all in the here and now.
Gary doesn't practice, there's no need, because the fact is he's a prodigy. The world is waiting while the others knuckle down, and Gary's riding fuck all down. He's not, you see, like you and me. Gary never gets the
There's always a Gary, isn't there? There's one in every school. Cool, aloof, good at sport, popular with the girls, captain of the team. Exams? No sweat. Running, jumping, acting grown up. Gary's got the whole thing sewn up. The original inspiration for our Gary's No Fool was, in fact, a lad called Stuart, who I was at school with. But our Stuart's No Fool didn't sound right. I needed a more suitable name for the song, and then I remembered a friend of my older brother who was a bit of a Mr. Perfect, at least in the eyes of my mum, who thought he was a lovely boy who could do no wrong. Yep, our Gary's No Fool. That works much better. It's a sort of rewrite of the Kinks' David Watts, I suppose. It took me back to those bleak, drizzly, bitterly cold winter mornings when the games master would gaze out of the window, grin a sadistic grin, and announce that it looked like the perfect weather out there for a cross-country run. Twice around the school field, down the public footpath to Snodhurst Bottom, often pronounced locally as Snollage Bottom, though I've no idea why. Once around the field, and then the agonising climb up the Coney Banks, usually pronounced Connie Banks, though I've no idea why. Of course, Big Brother was watching us through his binoculars, and any slow coaches caught having a breather, a crafty fag, or trying to walk it would hear the booming cry of, "Move yourselves!" which came between sips of steaming coffee from the thermally wrapped, waterproofed, grinning games master standing at the school gate. Sometimes, if the mood took him, he'd make us go once more round the school field. We were caked in mud and knackered. Not so Gary, of course. No, he'd crossed the finishing line ages ago and was now showered, dressed and ready to be brilliant at the next class.
While the others run in vain, some freezing fog and driving rain, our Gary smiles. It's aggravating. Running, jumping, acting grown up, Gary's got the whole thing sewn up. You can bet he's not done yet. Never tread the walk of shame, but everyone will talk and know his name, 'cause Gary, our Gary is no...
The irony isn't lost on me. My younger self looking for escape and finding it in music, juxtaposed with my older self looking for the same thing and finding it in creating music, which frequently harks back to the world from which I was so desperate to escape.
Gary always gets the girl.
Past is every bit as important as the present, and in the end, I guess the truth is, I needed both worlds. Thanks for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Join me next time when I'll talk about the song that was inspired by the uncle that nobody knew in The Invisible Man.